Well, Holy Spirit, we take this time to welcome you. We welcome you, Spirit of Grace. You are always welcome here in this church, in our midst, to do what you desire to do. We stand out of your way. Let your words, let your utterances be in, flow out of my mouth, that my tongue would be like the pen of a ready writer. For the Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains and encourages the weary. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak what only you can speak. Words of life, words from the throne room, words from heaven. And may they land in the hearts of the people here today, bringing life, bringing answers, turning things around, and setting your people, your sons and daughters, totally free, not to return and come back next week or next month, but setting them completely free, severing the ties of anything that doesn't belong to us, that shouldn't be on us, that shouldn't be on our bodies. So we thank you, Spirit of Grace, Holy Spirit. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Thank you this morning. Good morning. Well, today is Healing Sunday. You know, that is such good news. You know, years ago, even before we came to this church, when we were in a different church denomination, healing wasn't preached. We knew nothing about healing. And to hear today, to know if what I know today, if I knew that back then, even with my parents and with different situations and family members, that Jesus is the healer, that he still heals today. Not maybe, not a little dab here and a little dab there, but totally, fully. If I would have known that, my goodness, so many people would not have suffered and even died prematurely. And you know, a lot of times over periods of time, when we have healing services, when we open up the altars for healing, I see people come down to the front and we lay hands or the power of God goes in their bodies and they're healed. And so many times, weeks later, months later, they come down for the same ailment, the same thing, for prayer again, for healing. And that ought not be. Now, there's no condemnation on anyone. You know, I remember when my knee, the cartilage was down to bone upon bone. You know, there was just no cartilage there in my kneecap. And it was rubbing and it was extremely painful. And I just prayed and the angels just brought parts, brought new cartilage and all that to my knee. And it was extremely painful to even walk our dog at the park. But weeks after that, that pain tried to come back on me. And I started walking and I felt those same symptoms. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, you don't. Wait a minute. Oh, no, you don't. You ain't putting that back on me. That pain ain't coming back. And take an authority over that pain. Jesus healed me by his stripes. And I take authority over these symptoms now in my leg. How dare you try to come back on me? They're lying symptoms. And so Jesus comes to heal, not for a temporary healing, but for permanent healing. And he wants us healed totally. Back in January of this year, Pastor Herman and I, we went to Holy Ghost meetings in Murrieta, California, at Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church. And Richard Roberts was one of the speakers. And on his last meeting, very rarely do ministers do this, but he said that the Lord told him what to do that service. And so you know what he did? He spoke a little bit, and then he opened it up for questions and answers. And that's unheard of, especially for a minister of his caliber, because Oral Roberts is his dad. And so Richard Roberts flows in the healing ministry, flows mightily in the healing anointing. His wife, Lindsay, says she don't even go shopping with him anymore. You know why? There's prayer lines Reverend Roberts, pray for me, lay hands on me. Even when he's going up an elevator in a mall, people are, Reverend, pray for me, stretch your hands towards me. And she says, sometimes we can take a half an hour, hours before he'll come home because people were just gathered around him wanting healing. So he had a service that morning of questions and answers. And I had a question in me for a long time, and I thought, this would be the perfect time to ask him, because I often wondered, why do Christians lose their healing? Why don't they retain their healing? And why, after a while, maybe after a year, you've kept your healing, and then come back again for the same thing, the same condition. That ought not be. So I asked him that question, and he gave me two answers, which were excellent. And I want to share those with you, because that's what we're going to be speaking about, how to keep your healing. He said two things. Make sure your house is swept clean. Make sure your house is swept clean. In Matthew 12, 43, 44, you don't have to turn there. You can just listen, but it says this. But when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it roams through dry, arid places in search of rest, but it does not find any. Then it says, I will go back to my house from which I came out. And when it arrives, it finds the place unoccupied, swept, put in order, and decorated. So we have to keep our vessel clean. Once you've been healed, once you've been delivered or set free, you have to naturally keep this vessel, your house, clean. Fill it, because it's empty right there. Fill it with the Word of God. Fill it with things of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Fill it, fill up on the things of the kingdom. Because if you don't do that, well, we just read the scripture, then the enemy has an open door to come back. Why? Well, who's the author of sickness? Who's the author of sickness and disease? Yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. So if he placed it on you, surely he's going to try and bring it back on you. And you have to keep that door shut. You have to keep it closed. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? So your body is the temple, indwells the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ indwells in you. So we're to keep this vessel, keep these bodies clean. Refrain from things that will violate or contaminate you. Keep yourselves clean so that when you receive your healing, you maintain it and keep it. Jesus doesn't take it back, no. But the enemy, he'll come, because we know his MO. Steal, kill, and destroy. He's a stealer. He's a thief. And he'll always try to steal and kill from us. Always. That's his assignment, and that's what he'll do till he's thrown into the pit forever. So number one, we are to make sure your house, your vessel, is swept clean and kept clean. And there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that. Number two, he said, daily declare and thank God for your healing. Thank your Father for your healing. Continually confess, the power of God's working in my body. I thank you that I am healed. Keep doubt and unbelief out. Keep those things out. Well, sometimes well-meaning family and members, you go home and you'll say, I've been healed. Guess what? I don't have those symptoms. I don't have to take my medication anymore. I'm just totally healed, free. I got clearance from the doctor. And then, some well-meaning family members may say, well, uncle had that too, and his wife's cousin too died from that. And yeah, and then you remember Auntie Henrietta? She too, she had that too. So it runs in our family. You can't receive that. Just shut it down. Shut it down. Say, not me. No, I'm a child of God. When Jesus heals, It's for real. It's permanent. Yes, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. So you got to keep doubt and unbelief out, especially with the naysayers. In John, and you can look at this, turn to John, the 5th chapter, verse 6. We all know this scripture. We're going to be going over some scriptures. A lot of you know them, but this is to build your faith today. It's to build your faith. And that is key to your healing. Your faith. Your faith, not your mama's faith, not even your pastor's faith. We'll release our faith with you, but it's going to be your faith. So when you go home Monday through Saturday, it's your faith that's going to maintain that healing in you. Yeah, it's going to sustain you. It's going to settle it. So your faith, you may say, well, I just got saved. My faith is kind of small. Did he not give everyone a measure, the measure of faith? And it's sufficient. It's sufficient enough to believe for all that he supplied for us, everything from your salvation, the same way you received your salvation, the same way you receive your healing, by faith, by faith. Sometimes you may not even feel different, but just knowing that the power of God has gone into your body, when the power is present, your faith will reach out and receive that. So in John 5, the man lying at the pool of Bethesda, excuse me, that's a tongue twister for me, Bethesda. He's lying at the pool with an illness for 38 years, and I'm paraphrasing for time's sake, and Jesus comes up and asks the men, do you want to become well? 38 years, going down to the pool. It doesn't really say whether he went home and then went back, whether he stayed there and camped out, but that's a long time to have an illness, to be paralyzed. And for all the people that got ahead of him, and how discouraging that must have been. You would have thought in the course of 38 years, he would have just got so discouraged and given up, says, forget it. I'll just go home and live with this. You know, looks like God's not going to heal me. I can't even get to the pool. There's nobody to put me in. All these other ones that are stronger than me, that have different ailments, they're all jumping in the water before me when the water stirred. But he didn't. He didn't. So that tells me he had some persistent faith in him, even though his answer to the Lord was kind of not what the Lord wanted to hear. Because Jesus said, do you really want to be whole? And his response was, yes, Lord, I've been coming down here 38 years. Yes, yes, heal me. Yes, I want my healing. That's why I'm here. But he just says, I have nobody to put me into the pool. Nobody. And that's a lot of excuses that Christians and people have today, too, as far as why they don't receive their healing. There's just so much. It's settled with Jesus. He settled it when he took the 39 stripes. That was settled right then and there. And so man just throws in all of these things to complicate it and to make it, you know, for us to question. Healing, he's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. Amen. So Jesus says to him, to his response, they said a few other things. Then Jesus goes on to say to him, get up, pick up your bed and walk. And that man was healed from that day forward. But notice this phrase, though. Notice this. This is what I want to draw out of this scripture. Verse 14. Afterward, when Jesus found this same man in the temple, he said to him, see, you're well. You're well. This was days after. You're healed. You're well. And look at the next word. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. So sinning, keeping sin out of your life, has a lot to do with keeping the vessel clean, keeping the house swept. Remember, Jesus said it a lot to people. After he healed them, after set them free, even to the woman who was going to get stoned for adultery, go your way and sin no more. Keep your vessel clean. Why? Because Jesus knew that, hey, you got an adversary right around the corner. you know, and he's just waiting for a tiny opening, a tiny open door where he can come in and take and steal from you. Most people lose their healing over the enemy's counterattack. I'll say that again. Most people lose their healing over the enemy's counterattack. He does. He'll try and put the same old symptoms on your body. And this is where most people miss it. This is where they miss it. Because as soon as they start feeling their symptoms, the pain, maybe you couldn't see out of one eye, maybe the hearing, and then you started going a little bit deaf or something. That's when you got to be so careful with your words, Without even thinking, this is a common response for people. You're healed, you go home a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, the pain comes back, and they'll say, yeah, but I thought I was healed. I thought God healed me. That right there, it's opening a little crack in the door. Already, you're bringing doubt and unbelief, saying, I thought God healed me. Why? Why is this happening? Why are these symptoms coming upon my body? Kenneth Hagin tells it, this account when he had his church. He said he had a healing line, and two ladies came down to the healing line. Both had cancer in the late stages. One lady had it in a different part of her body than the other lady. He prayed for them. They both got healed. They both went back to their doctors. Doctors confirmed through x-rays and tests, says, all the cancer is gone from out of your bodies. It's great. So both of them were healed. Years later, he said the one lady still remained healed, still was fine, still coming to church. And he says, but the other lady, the pain came back on her body and other symptoms. And she said to herself and she said to others, I thought that he healed me years ago back then when Brother Hagin laid hands on me. I guess not. But she never went back to the doctor. She accepted that cancer came back on her. And so for years, she lived with the pain. The symptoms grew a little bit worse. And eventually, that woman died. Well, her husband was a strong Christian. And even though he was praying for her, believing for her healing again from that cancer, he felt he wanted to have an autopsy. So when she died, he had the examiner examine his wife's body. And guess what? They found no cancer in her body. This is a true story. No cancer in her body. So that says that she was healed. She was completely healed. Jesus is thorough. There's no mishaps in his healing. He doesn't miss it. But yet, when the enemy comes and brings those lying symptoms, and they are lying symptoms. Oh, they're real. Oh, they're real for sure, yeah. You know, look at the people who are still recovering and sick from COVID years ago. You would think with all the modern technology and what the doctors know today that there would be hardly any sick people. We have more sick people today than we've ever had globally, worldwide. Even with all of the technology and the medicines that are out there, there are more people sick today than ever. More people are on medication. More people, you know, are on 2-3 prescriptions every day. That shouldn't be when we have healing provided for us. Now, when you're standing believing for your healing, continue. There's no condemnation. Don't think, oh, geez, well, I'm taking 5 medications. Well, you know, that's okay. Follow what your doctor said, but believe the word of God and believe. Yeah, and mix your faith with that until you can totally get off. But your faith is everything. It means everything. Lying symptoms may come, and they will come upon your body after you're healed, but you have to speak to them. You have to speak to them. And it's so important that you use the right words. Don't open that door and say, again, what most people say, well, I thought he healed me. Or have somebody else come up to you, you know, and you, what's wrong? Oh, this sharp, you know, my back or diabetes or whatever it is. And they'll say, didn't you tell me a couple of months ago that, you know, you were healed? And even though that's a natural response, what you say over them about your health and your healing is pivotal. It's major. I'm healed by his stripes. Jesus healed me. The power of God's still working in my body. After how many years? 8, 9, maybe over 10 years since our daughter, when she was 26 years old, was near death. She had sepsis, shock, streptococcus A. You know, everything and anything that could go wrong with her body was going wrong. She was totally, her body totally shut down. And even today, after the Lord healed her, she still says, the power of God's working in my body. And we declare that all the time. Years afterwards, power of God's still working in her, still working, still flowing in her. And that's what you have to keep saying. And you may say, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm aching. I have pain in my body. I feel the symptoms of this thing. And you want me to, Romans 4:17, calling those things that be not as though they were. This is how we combat. This is how you keep your healing. This is how you hold on to it, maintain it. And when the pain started coming back in my knee, it didn't go away right away. The next day I woke up with it and I started limping again out of bed. And continually, it just made me more mad, more tenacious. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not receiving this. No way. Satan, you take your lying symptoms and get out of here. You have no right to be on me, especially with the healing power. It is illegal for a Christian to have anything on their body, put on your body, that was put on Jesus on Calvary. It's illegal. It was all put on Christ. Our sin, our shame, our sickness, our disease, that was all put on him. So don't let the enemy put it back on you. Don't accept it back. I don't want that junk. I don't want that pain. No, it shouldn't be put on us. It's spiritually a violation of our covenant rights and what Jesus did. Because he's a personified picture of fear, torment, sickness, anxiety. That's the enemy. I don't want any part of him and his mess. Get away from me. The blood of Jesus rebukes you. And so anything that is not from God, it's illegal to be on our bodies. So when sickness and the symptoms try to come back on you, speak to them. Say the right words. By his stripes, I remember that day, I'm healed. Power of God's flowing in me. It's working. It's flowing. And just do something to violate that thing that's coming against you. So I just would, I'd get our dog. She's in heaven now, dog heaven. I believe there's a dog heaven. We had our dog for 13 years, and I'd take her down to the park. She'd be way ahead of me, and I'm, you know, the power of God's working in my leg, in my knee. Power of God's working in my knee. By the fifth day already, it was all gone. It was all gone. Never came back since then. But sometimes you gotta you gotta have that righteous anger. Get up and say, no, I'm not accepting that. But I don't want that cancer back. How dare you? Diabetes, high blood sugar, and all this other stuff. The COVID aftermath. I know we're dealing, you know, some people are still dealing with that. Continually. Lay hands on yourself, on your body. Say, the power of God's working in me. It's flowing through my bloodstream. He healed me. He sent his word, and he healed me, and he'll raise me up off of my sickbed time and time again. It's either the word works or it doesn't, and it works, believe me. There's no failure on God's part. There's no failure. If there's anything lacking, we have to examine, what are we saying? What's our words? Believe me, you'll be challenged. The enemy will try to bring these lying symptoms back on you. But remember, the truth, which is God's word, this changes facts. Yes, it may be true you got a diagnosis from the doctor. Yes, it may be true that you're facing this and you got to go take this scan and this is happening in your body. We're not denying that. We're not getting weird or anything as Christians. The facts are this. Okay, all right, the doctor told me that, but I don't believe everything that they tell me. You're going to be so-and-so, you're going to be laid up, you're not going to be able to walk, you're going to have that, all that. I just listen to them, but I don't sit there and agree and, oh, yeah, oh, wow, yeah, you know, did your mom or dad have that? Oh, see, yeah, it's in your family, heart disease. I don't agree. But when I go home, I talk to my body, and I say, body, you be strong in the Lord and in his power of might. I have a strong heart. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. Speak to yourself and to your body. It'll listen. It'll respond. It'll respond to your words. That's why he said, power of life or death is in our mouths. It's in our tongues. So you got to speak these things. So you take the fact of the matter, whatever you've been told, take that fact, lay it on the Word of God, or take the Word of God and lay it on that fact, and it will change the facts every time. Every time it'll change the facts. Take your sickness, take a bad situation, take whatever you're dealing with, find a scripture that'll counteract that and stand on it and speak it. And don't give up after a week. You know, stick with it. Stick with it. Because we like everything fast nowadays. We want it right away. We want things even in a drive-thru. If we're sitting in the car more than 10 minutes, we're already getting antsy and, you know, ready to beep the horn. What's taking so long? We want everything now, 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 now. But take time, speak the word, and it'll change the facts. It will. The truth will always change facts, no matter what. It's not vice versa. So we have to answer these things. We do. Fact may be that right now you're even experiencing pain or a returning symptom, but he bore our sicknesses. And he bore all of our infirmities. He did. There's no such thing as selective healing. Do you have kids at home where they have selective hearing? You know, you ever heard of that? Or in school, your teacher will say, yeah, that was the one with selective hearing. Tell them what to do or tell them, giving them an assignment and completely forget about it or zone you out, tune you out. Jesus doesn't have selective healing. He doesn't pick and choose. I'll heal her. She's full of faith. I'll heal him. I'll heal this one. Not so much that one. Jesus, the healing power is available for everyone. He doesn't select, pick, or choose who he's going to heal. He doesn't. God's power doesn't just flow for a handful of people. It's for everyone. But the key is, though, not everyone receives their healing. Well, why is that? Why is it that some can leave healed and some don't? Faith. It's called faith. It's called releasing your faith. For some of you, how do I release my faith? The same way you did for your salvation. I release my faith. I believe that when I come down here and hands are laid on me, I'm going to be healed. The healing power of God is going to flow in my body. Whether I feel anything, whether I feel tingling, whether I fall down, just know this. If you fall back under the power of God, that's not when you're healed. You're healed on the point when you release your faith. Not when you fall back. And that's not the indicator that you're healed. Because some people don't fall. Some people stand. They're healed. They're healed. That's not the indicator of healing. It's when you release your faith. That's the true sign that you are healed. Releasing your faith. When God's healing power is flowing in a service, you have to respond to faith. Faith always attracts the power of God. It's like a magnet. Your faith, It's just like, you know, faith. Oh, faith, faith, right there, right there. You know, whatever you're believing God. It attracts God's power. God's attracted to faith. Amen. And so that's what's going to be key to holding and keeping your healing and maintaining it. And maintaining it. It's your faith. When his healing power is flowing, when there's a healing power flow in a service, it's to provoke your faith, to get you stirred up. Well, we're going to have a healing service today. That's to provoke you. I'm going to be healed today. And you're not going to check your body or wait and see, well, I'll wait till I go back on Tuesday. I have a Kaiser appointment, and then they'll tell me whether everything's left me or not. No, faith is now. Faith is now. You receive your healing now. You don't wait to have, you know, a doctor. A doctor will confirm that you are healed. But even if, again, the symptoms still persist, power of God's still working in you, because there's no healing in your body or in your mind. Healing comes from the Lord. He's the healer, but it flows through your spirit and then out into your body, because your faith, your spirit, is where faith originates. There's no faith in your mind. Your mind will argue with you and reason with you all the time about why you shouldn't believe that, reason you out of anything to receive from God. Faith is in the heart. Faith is in your spirit. You know, there'll be times when Pastor Herman and I will get in a service and we'll say something like, there'll be words of knowledge given. There's somebody here with a certain condition. Come up here or just receive your healing. And you sitting there and you say, wow, well, my condition wasn't called out. I guess I'm not healed. That's just when that takes place, when words of knowledge are being given for certain ailments or sicknesses, that's an announcement by the Holy Ghost that says, power's present, church. Grab a hold. Extend your faith. Just receive your healing. Oh, but, you know, they called out for eye diseases. Well, that's okay. You may need healing in your back, but just say, I'm going to get mine. I'm getting mine today. God's not a respecter. He don't have selective healing. He didn't just give a word for Liz or for Clyde or for Greg. It's just the power of God's flowing. And why doesn't he call out my disease, my thing? You can't just receive it. Grab hold. Just for the sake that power is flowing. That's an announcement to the church, to the body. Grab your healing. Power is flowing. Receive what he has for you, because he's no respecter. But again, he is the respecter of your faith. Yeah, he's a respecter. And just say, yeah, I'm receiving mine, because the power of God is flowing. Jesus will never bypass faith. Never, 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 never. No matter what. He'll never walk past a person when they have little faith, great faith, crazy faith, outrageous faith. Jesus will never, never, ever do that. And if you want some scriptures, we're going to look at that as an example. He will never bypass faith. Turn to Matthew 9. We all know this. There are many ways to receive healing. Matthew 9:20, we all know this, the woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9:20-22. Woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. And the Bible said, for she kept saying to herself, that's key. She kept saying to herself, 12 years. And some people dealing with something, an infirmity for 1 or 2 years, they give up. They start blaming God. They stop coming to church. They start saying things. And meanwhile, God had nothing to do with it. He's the one that gives healer. He's the one that, you know, is for you. His son Jesus paid the price. And for 12 long, long years, she had plenty of time to just give up. She spent everything. And you know, you realize the tenacity and the, I'll use that Jewish word, chutzpah, in this woman to one day determine, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get my healing. Jesus is in town. She got up. She got in the bathroom. She went and washed her face, brushed her teeth, combed her hair, put on clothes, and she probably was still flowing. Yeah, she still had that infirmity then, but she took care of that and said, irregardless, I'm going down, I'm going to get mine. And she found Jesus, and she kept saying to herself, if I can just touch him, touch just the fringe, not even get him to lay hands on me, just touch the fringe of his prayer shawl, his garment. That's great faith. And we all know that she was not alone. There wasn't just a few people present. Throngs of people pushing and shoving and around Jesus. You can imagine they were all yelling, Master, Jesus, heal me, have mercy on me. All of this calling out to him. And, you know, just in large crowds like that. And we're, you know, Jesus is probably being shoved and the disciples are trying to keep up with Jesus. Here comes this woman. And she kept saying, if I could just touch him, the hem of his garment. And Jesus stops. Not because she was louder than some other people, not because she was shouting louder above the voices of all the other crowd, but her voice of faith. Jesus heard, and he responded to that voice of faith. That spoke louder to Jesus than anything. The Bible says she kept saying to herself. She wasn't exactly yelling it like blind Bartimaeus was, shouting it to the rooftop. She was just saying, if I can just touch him. Faith arose, great faith. And Jesus, you know, being pushed amongst all the people, he stopped. And I imagine he turned and he said, who touched me? Who touched me? Who released their faith? Who released their faith for their healing? Faith can be seen. Faith can be felt. Faith can be touched. And Jesus felt that woman's healing. And immediately, Jesus turned around and seeing her, he said to her, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. So underline that in your Bibles or wherever. Your faith has made you well. Nothing less, nothing more. It's your faith that you're bringing today that's going to secure and make you well. Yes, we'll release our faith. We'll agree with you. But it's going to be your faith. And each of you have it. Each one of you have that portion of faith in you to receive whatever you need. It's not just healing. And at once, the woman was restored to health. Another example, again, I mentioned in Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus. A blind beggar was sitting by the roadside. That's in Mark 10. And he was the one, the more vocal one, the more verbal one, yelling to Jesus. Jesus, he shouted, have pity, have mercy on me. And he kept shouting it, and I'm sure he was annoying the crowds and people, but nevertheless, he was persistent. When you want something desperate, you don't care who the crowds are, who the people are. You don't, you know, you're just my healing or else. Nothing else matters. And he shouted and cried out to Jesus, and Jesus heard him. And Jesus called for him and asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. What? Your faith has healed you. And at once, the Bible says, he received his faith. So he said, it was your faith that healed you. Another quick example, Luke 17, the 10 lepers. Jesus was met by 10 lepers, and they all cried out to him, saying, take pity and have mercy on us, for we are lepers, we are unclean. Jesus saw them. He didn't lay hands on them, but he said to them, go at once and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cured, healed, and made clean. Then only one leper returned to give thanks and praise to Jesus. And he said to the man, "Were there not 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? So he told the man, "Get up and go your way." And again, here was his response. "Your faith has restored you to health." There again it is. It's your faith. It's your faith. That's key. That's so key. This one I love because this was great faith, but this didn't even take for the Lord to show up. This was a case of he just sent his word and healed them. You know that scripture? He sent his word and healed them. What does that mean? Meaning that you can pray for a family member, for somebody that's sitting up lying in Maui Memorial Hospital. You can pray for a family member in the mainland, somebody in Mexico, somebody in Europe. You can pray for their healing, and that sent word will heal them. You don't believe it? Look at this scripture. It's about the Roman centurion soldier. That's in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Verses 8 and 10. It says, "A centurion soldier came up to Jesus, begging him, saying, 'My servant boy is paralyzed and has excruciating, intense pain.'" And I'm paraphrasing. Jesus replies, "I will come to him and restore him." And then the centurion replies, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant boy will be healed." Because the Roman soldier says, "I understand what authority is, because I have men, soldiers under me. I tell them go and they go, and they subject under my authority." And he recognized the authority that Jesus holds and held. "Just one word from you, Lord. You don't even have to come lay hands. You don't even have to come up to the doorstep, not even your shadow. Lord, just speak the word." He understood concepts and precepts that not a lot of Christians even grabbed a hold of. It's one way you can receive your healing is having hands laid on you, and that's scriptural. But another way is right even here, the spoken word. He sent his word and healed them. Well, what spoken word are we supposed to use? Healing scriptures, Isaiah 53:5, "By his stripes we are healed." He sent his word and healed us. He'll raise the sick up. He took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses. There's scriptures throughout the Bible. That's what we send. We send the word over. We send the word over to the hospital, to our loved ones. And guess what? It won't return unto you void, but it'll accomplish that which it's sent to do. That's a promise. That's a word of God. When you speak and send his word. So Jesus is telling the centurion, "I'll come to your house and I'll pray for the boy." And the Roman soldier says, "No, Lord, no. Just speak the word and my servant boy will be healed." Jesus heard this and he marveled and said to the man, "I have not found so much great faith as this with anyone, even in Israel," even in Israel. And it was his faith. And the Bible doesn't even really say if this soldier was Christian or not. Well, obviously he had to believe because he believed in the name of Jesus. He must have heard that Jesus heals. His power must have heard some testimonies, seen Jesus perform so many miraculous miracles, signs and wonders all over. So that increased his faith. But even if you have that tiny bit of faith this morning, that of a mustard seed, "Well, I don't have a lot of faith." That's all right. You don't need a lot of faith to get healed. Don't need a lot of faith to get saved either. But nevertheless, it's releasing your faith and just receiving your healing. And so there's also another on the flip side of faith, where in line with watching your words of doubt and unbelief. Remember when Jesus in the book of Matthew 13, he went to his hometown in Nazareth, And the Bible says he could do no good works. He couldn't heal, only maybe like a few people. Why? Because his power is diminished? Why? Because he has selective healing? No, absolutely not. Jesus always flowed, was always ready to heal, deliver, and set people free. But it was the people on their end. They had no faith. They were full of doubt and belief. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary's boy? Isn't this Mary's boy? Yeah. Isn't this the carpenter? And he's doing all these signs and wonders. And so they just entrench themselves with doubt and unbelief. And that stopped the flow. And young ladies, I would ask you to stop your talking back there. All right? It's disrespectful and it grieves the Holy Spirit. So when you have doubt and unbelief in going on, it shuts things down where Jesus could do no good works. Yeah, he couldn't. And so as you prepare yourselves, your heart, and release your faith, if you need healing in your body this morning, we'll lay hands and pray for you. Pastor Herman mentioned this morning, too, also as far as maybe the fear of death dying. We got a phone call yesterday saying that our son-in-law graduated to heaven. He went home. Dwayne did. Yeah. So we're not to be afraid of death. We celebrate where they're at. Sure, we're going to miss them. Sure, especially when they leave too soon. 41 years old, my goodness. He was in Oahu. And nevertheless, we'll miss him. But the comforting thing is, though, you know, they're total peace. Their limbs are restored. Through diabetes, he had to have a leg amputated, and he was ready to have the other leg amputated. And so before the doctors could even do this, you know, he just laid back and went to sleep. And his mom found him in the room. So he's in the Lord's presence. And so when you come down to receive your healing, just believe and say in your heart that I believe when hands are laid on me, the power of God will come on my body and flow through my body, and sickness and disease will leave me. And if there's anything else that is there, presence of an evil spirit or anything, that it'll depart. And you release your faith. And we'll release our faith as well with you. And the power of God is always present, always willing to heal. But just know, we want to keep your healing. You want to hold on to it. And so now you have ammunition. Now you have answers in what to say and speak to those lying symptoms until they leave, until they go. Because there's nothing like that woman that Reverend Hagen prayed for. She was healed, but she convinced herself when the symptoms came back on her body that cancer came back with a fierceness. It was just those symptoms. And those symptoms could have been driven out of her body had she spoken, continue to speak over them. So as the ushers are